I don't know if our friend Kanata Edwards at Nada the Scribe on Twitter has a relationship with FanDuel or DraftKings, or I don't know. But you're a handsome man. We have your phone number. So what were your thoughts on those shenanigans? And I'm not saying about Shams doing anything wrong there. I understand what the issue is. But what are your thoughts on that draft, the betting market flipping so hard the morning of?
That a fool and his money were simply parted, like easily parted. That was my thing. Because I'll be real with you, like I kind of had a hint that Brandon Miller was going to be the pick for probably a couple days before.
Yeah.
It's kind of why you saw it, like when everybody was like, oh, it's going to be Scoot and everyone's getting excited and they're setting all these Hornets fans up for excitement because they're going to get their guy. I was like, nope, it's going to be Miller. and the thing is, if you know, and not necessarily, if you know the owner's preference on certain things like this, and I mean the former owner,
right,
soon to be former owner,
yeah, case,
Brandon Miller was always going to be the guy. So I found it cute. I found it funny. I knew exactly what the reaction was going to be when they found out it wasn't going to be him. Not well. But I do think that, like, there's going to be a time where you're going to have to start breaking this news with the little disclaimer. Like, we kind of have, like, the depression ads and, like, your anti-cholesterol ads
right,
and everything else like that. Like, this newsbreaker is sponsored by X.
Yep.
And go from there.
Not to mention the fact, from a basketball standpoint, if you're all in on LaMelo Ball, you can't add Scoot Henderson.
Yeah.
I mean, two guys who need the ball. There's only one ball. It's not pinball where you have two balls in play. It just never made any sense to me.
Can I get my frustration? Can I vent a little frustration out about the entire angst over this thing? Because quite honestly, me and you watch a lot of basketball.
Mm-hmm.
How many players are more valuable than, I don't know, a 6'8", 6'9", guy that can shoot anywhere from 38 to 44% from
right,
three? How valuable are those guys?
The Lakers just signed like seven of them.
Exactly. Like, those guys don't come on trees. They right, don't come cheap. And yet everybody got upset that the Hornets got everything that for mind you, a rookie contract.
Yeah.
They got a guy that's going to probably come into the league, shoot 38 to 42% from three within the first 3 years of his deal. And at the same point, addresses a need because, oh, yeah, the Hornets were bottom 10 in three-point shooting last year.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a fit, but we're acting like this guy can't get better and or this guy can't be the second coming, like 6'9", Klay Thompson.
Yeah.
If he's that, he's worth the number two pick.
Yeah, and he's a willing defender too. So it was the right pick. You know, whether down the road if he or Scoot Henderson is better, I'll bet my money on the guy who can shoot. Always. I will always bet my money on the guy who can shoot. Real quick, LaMelo Ball, 5 years, and I think officially all the money, right?
Yeah. In 5 years, if he hits all NBA a couple of times, it goes to 5 years, 260. Base, it's 5203. So there's a difference there. It's the John Morant contract, essentially. But it's a no-brainer of a deal.
Oh, yeah.
It's the only deal that the Hornets have done that they haven't squeezed everybody. You had to do it. And if he asks out in 2 or 3 years, you still have got to do this kind of deal anyway.
No. You have to show yourself as a franchise that values the star-level player that you have. Otherwise, why would any – I mean, not that any stars have come there, but – I mean, why would anybody ever go there in the future? So where is this franchise now in the timeline to becoming, you know, like, I'm not talking about a contender at the top, but a legitimate top six team in the East?
Let me see what they do with PJ Washington. Like, quite honestly, let me see.
I got so much venom from people, and I understand it. Because of what Bridges did, right? Whether that became criminal or not, he's basically served a year suspension. he is back in the league and he's back on the roster. And that was my only point, but I get why people are angry. But also, what is his future with this organization?
He might be the one guy I don't have any a pulse on. I feel like they gave him a prove-it deal because they don't trust him. They didn't trust some of his antics before. This was a guy that was in need of growing up, point blank. At the same point, he was, in that 43-win season, he was their best half-court player. He was the guy that you could go tell, go say, go get us a bucket, and outside of, like, mid-range struggles, which actually cleaned themselves up later in the year, he was their most reliable scorer in that 43-win season. So they're going to, if he cleans up, and mind you, the other thing about this is that if you actually look at this, the statement that they, not, I'm not the statement, but the settlement for between state of California and Miles Bridges, it's one of the most stringent ever. He's going to have to be on his P's and Q's essentially for the next 5 to 7 years because there are very, very stringent penalties and the possibility of him going back to jail. I'm not going to say it's high, but it's one of those things. It's one of those fool around to find out things. Like if he doesn't stick to the straight and narrow, there's going to be issues here. So he's on a prove it thing in life.
Yeah.
So I expect we're going to see the best of Miles Bridges going forward because, quite honestly, he doesn't have a choice. And if he messes up, it's on him. But I don't blame the Hornets for not trusting him right now. He's going to have to show and prove. And more importantly, with the ownership, new ownership that's going to come in, this is going to be their kind of first impression, even though Dave Plotkin has been in the fold for a little bit. He's had a key card to the office for a while. But at the same point, Miles Bridges is going to have to show and prove, and that's all I really got on that. Like,
that's
if
fine.
He shows up, cool. He's going to get his max. He's going to get the Jeremy Grant contract. If not, then I wonder where – if he's even going to be in the league at that point.
Yeah, and I mean, the truth is that it also, based on contracts and everything, he's also a candidate maybe to even get moved at the deadline. A couple of very, very quick things, and I know you and I have something very important to hit on before we have to say goodbye. The Lakers did basically all of their business, including whatever they would add during the trade deadline. They did it all last week.
Yeah.
Gabe Vincent from Miami, Cam Reddish, who could be a sneaky great addition to that team out of free agency, and they brought everybody back. I was stunned that they even brought back D'Angelo Russell, but they
brought back everybody.
They've got like nine guys that can play now.
I think the one thing we got to give Rob Pelinka credit for is he figured out early, we're not going to stop Jokic. It's everybody else we got to stop.
Yes.
Like, we just got to stop everybody else. Mm-hmm. If we stop everybody else, we have a chance in a seven-game series against Denver. And mind you, Denver has gotten weaker. They lost Jeff Green. They lost Bruce Brown. To an insane contract.
Big time.
I'm glad for him. Wouldn't have been me. Wouldn't have been my money. But that all being said, like, the Lakers are building this, like, okay, if we get 50, 55 plus from LeBron. We get maybe 50 from AD. As long as they're healthy by game 83, we're going to be fine and we'll go toe-to-toe with anybody in the West. Now, whether they feel confident against anybody in the East, that's to be seen for right now. But right now, I like them. I think they're a top three team. I think they're better than Phoenix. I'll put it that way.
I do too.
I think they're better than Phoenix right now. And I think they're a top three team in the West.
All right, final thing. So I finally, after becoming an out-and-out English football fan, the world had been telling me, oh, you got to watch Ted Lasso, you got to watch Ted Lasso, asking me 1,000 times, oh, so what do you think of Lasso? I hadn't watched it. And then 3 days ago, we downloaded Apple TV. Season one, done. We're almost all the way through season two.
Okay.
And I was told that season one was great, season two wasn't as good, but season three had bounced back. What does it say? Ooh. I think season two is better than season one.
I I can't go with you that far, but I do understand your viewpoint on it, because if I'm honest, season one is a little too major league for me.
Yeah.
And I love major league.
I do too. Okay.
I love major league. Right. But at the same point, like, soccer major league only goes so far.
Mm-hmm.
Season two, where I absolutely agree with you, is they go into territory that we don't normally typically go in sports.
Not in comedy.
Yeah. And that's where it breaks new ground. Now, the one thing I'm going to warn you, everybody says season three bounces back. I am not the biggest season three fan.
Okay. I haven't gotten there yet.
And it feels like a little bit of a letdown. But what I will say is, like, if you love season two, be prepared to be slightly let down to the off ramp on season three, despite the fact that there are heavy overtones that is season four is coming.
Oh, I can't wait. By the way, I'm a huge Roy Kent fan. I love everything about Roy Kent.
Somehow that does not surprise me at all.
I love Roy Kent. First of all, the honesty of the show is so great.
Yeah.
That they just... Yeah. Everything fluff just spits out of their mouth before, like, if you put a filter on yourself, like, there are no filters on this show. Everything is absolutely straight out. I love Roy Kent. I love Keeley Jones. And Nate the Great has become a complete jackass. Mm-hmm. And I kind of like the character now, but. He's a buddy.
Oh wow.
Nate the Great. And I know.
You gotta text me.
I know what's coming. I know what's coming with Nate the Great.
You gotta text me.
My son has already spoiled it for me. I know what's coming with Nate the Great. The dart scene was phenomenal. Loved everything about that. Kanata Edwards.
It's one of our best shows ever. And thankfully we have that. Thankfully you have that, because otherwise you would be focused on the Mets, and yeah.
They've won a few here. There's only like seven teams between them and the wild card now. We'll talk about that next time. Kanata Edwards at Not of the Scribe, CBSSports.com. Hey, thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Talk to you soon, Mike.
You got it.